About a pasuk, the pasuk says about a woman who gives birth that b'chol kodesh lo sigav el mikdash lo tavo ad malos yimei tahara. She's not allowed to touch anything consecrated. She's not allowed to enter the mikdash until she is fully pure. So the Gemara had said that according to Ula, teaches that even a partial entry is considered an entry. Asks the Gemara, Vakati, but we need this pasuk, b'chol kodesh lo tiga mibayle, we need it for something else. Letame, we're the third line in Lama Dalar Muralef. Letame sha'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrika. If a person is tame and they eat consecrated meat, the meat of a karban, before the meat is permitted to be eaten, even before the blood of the carbon was thrown. Ditmar, we learned, Tame Shachal Basar Kodesh Lifnei Zrika, if a person is Tame, eats consecrated meat before the blood of that meat is thrown, Rish Lakish Amar Loka, Rish Lakish says, even though it's not the full prohibition, he wouldn't get the punishment of kares, of the soul being cut off, but he would get lashes. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eno Loka, you don't even get lashes. Rish Lakish Amar Loka, Rish Lakish says the person who eats it would get lashes because the verse says about the Tame, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. In anything holy, she, the woman who's still impure, she hasn't finished the term of impurity after having given birth, shall not touch. So that's to say, Loshna Lifnei Zrika, all Kodesh, even that which hasn't yet had the blood for it thrown. Loshna Lachar Zrika, and certainly that which has had the blood for it thrown. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, if a Tamei eats meat of a carbon, but the meat of that carbon, that the blood for that meat hasn't been thrown yet, he doesn't get lashes. Kedetani Bardla, based on the lesson that Bardla taught. Bardla taught, how do we know that there is a prohibition of a Tamei person eating carbon meat? Asya Tumaso Tumaso. It's based on Gzeira Shava. It says in regards to the punishment for a Tamei person eating Tamei meat, for a Tamei person eating carbon meat, Tumaso. And it says in regards to the punishment of a Tamei person going into the temple, Tumaso. So just like in regards to going into the temple, there's not just a punishment, but there's also a warning. So too in regards to eating Tamei meat, there's not just a punishment, but there's also a warning. Now, b'chik sevahu, so if you're learning the warning from the word tumaso, tumaso is regards to the punishment of kares, and ahu la'achar zrika. The punishment of kares is for someone who's tame, who eats holy meat after the blood has been thrown on behalf of that holy meat. So therefore, if a tame person eats holy meat before the blood has been thrown on behalf of the meat, there wouldn't be a punishment, there wouldn't be a warning either, there wouldn't be lashes. So the Gemara says like this, Reish Lakish will still learn from this pasuk the idea of Bia B'mikzas, of a partial entry, plus this law that a Tamei person can't eat consecrated meat even before the blood has been thrown on behalf of the consecrated meat. Because Imkain, if the verse didn't intend to teach just that point, Lein Makra, the pasuk should have said, B'kodesh, she shouldn't touch the holy. And then I would say, there's touching holy, meaning entry, partial entry, and I would have said, and I wouldn't have known this idea. But why did it say, my b'chol kodesh? Why did it add the word b'chol in any holy she shouldn't touch? So that's to teach me another halacha too. Shema minatarti, it's to teach me two laws. It's to teach me, number one, that there is a prohibition against the tamei person eating consecrated meat. And then there's a second point, b'chol kodesh, is to teach me that the tamei person can't eat the consecrated meat even before the blood has been thrown on behalf of that meat.
So Rabbi, by touching the blood, it makes the blood tamei, and then it throws it into kodesh.
No, he doesn't have to touch the blood. A kohen can throw the blood.
So then, you know,
it's the tamei person eating the meat before the blood was thrown for that meat.
So it's kosher, right? It's okay.
No, we're about to see now. It's an argument, right? Gufa, we just learned. Tame. Let's say a person is Tame. Sha'achal basar kodesh. And that Tame person eats meat of a karban. Lifnei zrika. Before the blood was thrown for that karban. Rish Lakish amar loker. Rish Lakish says the person gets lashes. Rabbi Yochanan amar eino loker. Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't get lashes. Amar Abaye explained machlokas b'tumas aguf. The argument is with the person is tame, and the carbon is not. Avol b'tumas basar. But let's say the person is tahar, and there's a carbon, and the carbon became tameh. In other words, after it was slaughtered, somebody made it tameh. Devi hakaloka. Everybody agrees that you get lashes for that. Amar Krah, because the pasuk says, habasara shayigah b'chol tameh. The meat that touches anything tameh. The verse says lo yeachel. It may not be eaten. Ba'eshi saref. It should be burned by fire. V'habasar, then it adds again the word v'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. Only the pure shall eat the basar.
That meat already was shecht.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, okay. Right.
All right.
Now, so if the meat itself is tameh, everybody agrees that there is a lav in eating it, and one would get lashes for eating it. Now, the verse says v'habasar. So, if the meat was made tameh before the blood was thrown on behalf of that meat, everyone would agree that there is a lav in eating that meat. How do we know that? Because in that verse, there's an extra word, v'habasar. Let me read the whole verse again. The verse says, v'habasar asher yigah b'chol tameh lo yechel be'eshi saref. The meat that'll touch anything tameh shall not be eaten, it should be burned in fire. And then again, v'habasar, and the meat. And then it says, kol tahar yochal basar, the pure shall eat the meat. So this word, v'habasar, is like a hanging word. So since it says v'habasar and the meat, why is it an extra word? It's to say like this. Just like there is a law that if meat became tameh, you're not allowed to eat the meat, the rabos eitzim ulevona, even if the wood of the altar became tameh, even if the spices on top of the ktoret, or on top of a mincha, the spices on a mincha, or the spices on the lechem apanim, if the spices became tameh, there would be a prohibition if a person were to eat them. Now, the lav ne'achilinu, these are things that are not really edible. They're not foods. Even so, this word, v'habasar, Rabbeinu Kra, the pasuk says that if somebody eats them when they are impure, he gets lashes. They were included. So if that's true about things that are not even edible, they're not food, so certainly meat prior to the blood being thrown on its behalf, it is physically edible. It's just halachically not edible because the blood of the carbon hasn't been thrown yet. So certainly if somebody ate that when it was tameh, he would get lashes. Now Rava, who says, so now this is the view of Abaye, that the argument is about when the person is tameh. But when the animal is tameh, everybody agrees that it's a lav. However, Rava tells you, machlokas b'tumas aguf. The argument, yes, you're right, is about a person who's tameh, who eats in the meat of a carbon before the blood of that carbon was thrown. Aval b'tumas basar. But if you have the animal, the carbon itself, becoming tameh before the blood was thrown, divriakol eino loked. Everybody agrees that there is no lashes for eating that meat. My time. What's the reason? Came the low karina bay. Since when we talk about meat before the blood was thrown, so you don't have the verse of kares about it. So we don't say about this meat. The verse v'tumaso alav anichrasa, the tuma being upon him, his soul will be cut off. Certainly, if a person is tame and he eats meat before its blood was thrown, meat of a carbon before its blood was thrown, he doesn't get kares. So therefore, lo karina bay, so we also don't say about it, v'abasar sheyiga b'chol tameh lo ye'achel. So we also don't have about it the idea that the meat that has touched things that make it tameh may not be eaten.
Rabbi, where did they do the lashes, right? In Beit
HaMikdash? No.
They would take them outside.
They would take them out. So the Gemara says, one second, but according to Rava, v'amamab, we just said that in that verse, v'abasar sheyiga b'chol tameh lo ye'achel, and then again, v'abasar, we said the word v'abasar is l'rabos eitzim ulevona, that that's to include pieces of wood, that's to include spices, that if they became tameh, and then a kohen ate them, so then the kohen gets lashes. So if he'd get lashes for eating spices, certainly he should get lashes for eating meat of a carbon, even though it's meat of the carbon before it became permitted, if it was tameh. So the Gemara says, no. Those are different. What was that talking about? Kagon shekitchu b'kli, that the wood or the spices were put into a holy vessel, And because they were put into a holy vessel, so they were consecrated. So since they were consecrated, Nasa Kemisha Karvu Kol Matirav, they have the status, the equivalent of a karban whose blood is thrown on its behalf. That's not because we learned in the Mishnah. Kol Sheyesh Lo Matirav, when you have a karban with blood, that the blood is what permits it, Misha Karvu Matirav, once the blood is brought, at that point it's considered fully offered, and then you have all the problems. If you eat it betumah, you get karis. But something which doesn't have things to permit it, it doesn't have blood. So then, once it was put into a vessel, it becomes consecrated. And if a tar person eats it once it was, I'm sorry, if a tummy person eats it once it was consecrated in a vessel, it's the equivalent of eating that which had already had the blood thrown on its behalf. And then it became tummy and it was then eaten. Okay, so that completes the discussion about this issue. Now we have a new discussion between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Itmar, we learned. What happens if a guy, he's a real rascal, and Hamala Ivari Behema Tmei Al Gabi Amizbeach, he puts onto the altar limbs of horses and camels. He can't make a carbon out of a horse and a camel, but he went and he cut up some horse and camel, and he takes the pieces, he runs to the top of the altar, he throws it into the fire. What happens to him? Reish Lakish Amar Loke. Reish Lakish says he gets lashes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loke. Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't even get lashes. So what's the argument? Reish Lakish Amar Loke. Reish Lakish says he gets lashes because the verse says, Min HaBeima, from the domesticated animals. Min HaBakar, from the cattle. Or Min HaTzon, or from the sheep. Takivas Karban Chem, bring your karbanos. So the Torah is saying, Tahora, kosher animal in. That's what you should bring your karbanos from. Tamea, a non-kosher animal, like horses and camels, lo, don't bring the carbon from. But the Torah didn't say explicitly, don't bring a carbon of a non-kosher animal. It said, bring a carbon from a kosher animal. So he holds, lava bom yichlal aseh, when you have a prohibition that's derived from language of a positive command, go bring the kosher animal, implying, but don't bring the non-kosher animal. So lava bom yichlal aseh is also a prohibition, and therefore, lo can all of you get lashes. That's the view of Reish Lakish. However, Rabbi Yochanan ain't looking alav because lava ba michal asay is an asay, and therefore ain't looking alav. Rabbi Yochanan says that a prohibition derived from language that's positive is still a positive law, so therefore there's no lashes. Masa Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said, one second, we know in regards to kashrus, there's a brisa. The brisa is like this. The verse says things that have split hooves and that chew their cud, osato chevi, that you should eat. So we say from that, that you should eat, below behemoth tmei, but other things that don't have split hooves or chewing their cuds, non-kosher animals you can't eat. Lava b'michlal asay is still an asay. This is only a mitzvah asay, and therefore we're going to need another prohibition to tell me that you can't eat that which is treif. One second, according to Reish Lakish, why do I need another prohibition? What I derive from an asay, a prohibition I derive from an asay, is also a prohibition. I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Sir Rabbi Yaakov said back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bar Tachlifa, the son of Tachlifa, Azbarlach, let me explain to you the argument. If it's actually limbs of a non-kosher animal thrown onto the fires of the Mizbeach, the Kuliyamalo Pligi, nobody argues, everybody agrees it's only an assay, there wouldn't be lashes, because it's an assay that says to offer the kosher animals, implying, but not the non-kosher animals, so there's no lashes. Keep pligi, what's the argument? Bechaya, if it's a kosher animal, but a wild kosher animal, let's say a deer. If somebody slaughters a deer and he cuts up the deer and throws up pieces of the deer into the fires on the altar. Vachyitmar, this is the lesson. Rabbi Yochanan Amar over Baaseh. Rabbi Yochanan says he's violating an Aseh. Reish Lakish Amar in over below Klum. He's not even violating anything. What does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan over Baaseh. Rabbi Yochanan says he's violating an Aseh because the Pasuk says, Adam ki yakiv mikem karban la Hashem, a person who will bring a karban to Hashem, min ha-behima, it has to be a domesticated animal, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, to kiv his karban lachem. From the cattle or the sheep, bring your karban. So that means behema in. You have to use a domesticated animal. Chayalo, a wild animal you can't use. So that's why it's violating an asay to use a wild animal. However, Reish Lakish Amar in over b'vlo klum, it's not a violation. Ha-hu le-mitzvah. It says min ha-behima, that means ideally it should be a domesticated animal. It's not a requirement. And therefore, as long as it's kosher, it wouldn't be a violation, according to Reish Lakish.
But Rabbi, they both talk about kosher animal and domesticated animal, but none of them is talking about doing the shechita the kosher way. You know, what happened if the shechita wasn't kosher?
It was kosher.
Or they done by, a rabbi or a sheikh would...
Yeah.
Properly.
Cut a horse or something? Or
It could be that. Doesn't matter.
We're not talking about the chicken part.
We're now already past the horses. Now we're saying we're talking about deer. We're not arguing about horses. Now we're saying they're arguing about deer.
The meat is kosher, right?
The meat is kosher. It's very good. But it's wild. It's not domesticated. The Torah talks about a domesticated animal. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei Rava. Rava challenged even this interpretation of Reish Lakish. We lived in a Braisa. Ilu nemar carbon lashem behema. If the verse would have said, "Bring a carbon to God, a domesticated animal," isi omer chayav bechlal behema. Let's say any kosher animal, even wild, is also called domesticated animal. Kidin shenemar, like we have in the pasuk, zosa behema asher tochlu. This is the domesticated animals you should eat. But then it lists a deer. It says shor sex aviv seizim ayel tzvi. It says a deer. So Talmud Loma, that's what the verse goes on to say. After it says behema, it says bakar, it says cattle, and it says again, sown, sheep. So it's to say bakar v'tzon amarti lecha. The only animals you can bring as a carbon are cattle and sheep. V'lo chaya, not a wild animal. Yachol lo yaviv im hevi kasher. Maybe I shouldn't bring it, but if I did it, it is kasher. Like what we're saying is the view of Reish Lakish. No, halamazah doma. What's this like? The Talmud Shomer lo rabo haveli chitim. Imagine a teacher tells a student, bring me wheat. And the student brings wheat and barley. So you say it's not so bad. He's doing what he was asked for, plus a little bit more. His teacher never said, I don't want barley. So then I would say it should be okay. So therefore, v'kasher. So it should be okay if he brings a wild animal. It's just doing a little bit more than what Hashem said. Tam Loma, that's what the verse goes on to say. Bakar v'tzon, cattle, sheep. It's to say, Bakar v'tzon amarti lecha. Hashem is telling us, like, you can bring cattle, you can bring sheep. The lo chaya, but not a wild animal. Halamazah doma, what does it mean when Hashem says to bring a behema? It's like the Talmud, it's like the student, Shem Elo Rabbi, his teacher tells him, Al tavili elochitin, you can only bring for me wheat. Ve'evi lo chitin usorim. Instead, the student brings wheat and barley. Sheinu kemosif al dvarav, that's not just doing more than what he was asked for. Halakamavi al dvarav, that's violating his words. So what does this brisa say? The Brisa says explicitly, upasl, a wild animal is disqualified. It's saying that. Since the Torah keeps stressing cattle and sheep, a wild animal is disqualified. So to you have to do Reish Lakish. According to you, Reish Lakish says you could bring a wild animal, bidyeved. It's not the best, but you could use it. But here you see explicitly the Brisa says it's disqualified. All right, Reish Lakish is wrong. To you have to, it's wrong. Reish Lakish is wrong, got to throw that out. No one can say you can bring a wild animal as a carbon.
So what would happen to the Mishkan or the Mizbeach?
Nothing happens to it.
So how do they kosherize it, Rabbi?
Can't. It's not something which can become impure. It's kli eitz asur lenachas. It's such a big utensil. It doesn't have the ability to become impure.
So what do? They have to rip it off and put a new one in there?
They can't. They can't. It doesn't become impure. They don't do anything.
Oh, it doesn't become impure. It
does not become impure.
Oh.
So we learned in the Mishnah that if a non-Kohen, let's say, catches the blood, kalap sulin, so he doesn't make the carbon kosher by catching the blood, so if he has a thought of consumption out of time or out of place, he doesn't make the carbon pigle either. And therefore, if there's still blood of life still in the neck, go back and catch that blood by a kosher Kohen and redo it. So by Minei Reish Lakish Mir Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish had a question that he asked of Rav Yochanan. Pasul, someone who's not able to do the service, let's say a non-Kohen, Ma'u Shiyasa Shirayim. If he does all the service, he catches the blood, he walks the blood, and he even throws the blood on the altar. Once the blood is thrown on the altar, do we now say, okay, it's done, we can't do anything more? He made it into Shirayim, the leftovers of blood. Or maybe since he wasn't worthy for service, it doesn't become Shirayim yet. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, Ein osa Shirayim. when there is a throwing of the blood that wasn't kosher, it doesn't make the rest of the blood shirayim, that now you can't do anything. Ella, only if the only reason why it wasn't kosher was chutz l'zmano, that it was a kohen, but he had a thought of eating at the wrong time, or chutz l'mkomo, or a thought of eating at the wrong place. So, holu meratz l'pigulo, since that's considered a throwing of blood, to be able to make it have the status of pigul, that's also a throwing of blood that says you can't do anything with the leftovers. But if you had a non-kohen throwing the blood, the leftovers, you can still go back and redo it.
Rabbi, so the spirit can't become tame.
Correct.
But what about the utensils?
You'd have to put them in the mikvah. If they became tame. Yeah, they became tame, yeah. Rav Zvid Masni Hachi. Rav Zvid had the following version of the question of Rish Lakish. But I mean, Rish Lakish Mir Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan. Kos pasal. Let's say one cup of blood became disqualified. Let's say it was taken out of the Azara. And then a Kohen Kasher takes it back in. And he walks it to the altar and he throws it on the altar. Maoshi Asa Shirayim, is the fact that you threw this blood on the altar considered a significant act of throwing? So now the leftover blood is leftovers and you can't throw them anymore. Or maybe not. Maybe it wasn't a significant act of throwing. You can even use the leftover blood and redo the carbon. Amar Leis, Rabbi Yochanan said back to Ish Lakish, Pasal Gufe. Now, what happens if the person who's doing the throwing is disqualified? My Svirlach, what do you think about it? You didn't ask me about that. E pasal mashvi shirayim, if when a non-kosher kohen throws the blood, the leftover blood is now shirayim, and you can't take it again, you can't bring it to the altar. So kos pasal nami mashvi shirayim. So then a cup of blood being taken out would also mean that the leftover blood is no longer usable on the altar. It's shirayim. But if a non-kosher kohen throwing the blood doesn't make the leftovers disqualified from being used, then a cup of blood being taken out of the azara would not make the leftover blood disqualified from being used further. You can go and take the leftover blood and use that. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifti Masni Hachi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifti had the following version. Abaye asked the following question of Rabba. Let's say there was a carbon chatas, it was slaughtered, and the blood was caught into two cups. So, that one cup was thrown on the altar. So, kos, one cup of blood was already put on the four places where it's supposed to be put on the altar. So, ma'ushiyase eschaveiro dachui. Does the fact that you used one cup of blood for the altar mean that the other cup of blood is now no longer kosher? Because this was this had been suitable for the altar, and now something else fulfilled the mitzvah, so this was pushed aside. Oh, or maybe it's not pushed aside. It's shirayim. It's just the leftovers of the blood. It too can go up onto the altar, at least be poured on the yesod, on the foundation, on the base of the altar. So Amar Leh, so Rabbi responded to Abaye, this is Plukta, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbanan. This is an argument between Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan. The time we lived in a Braisa, Lamala, earlier, where the Torah talks about a carbon of a king, who Omer, the verse says, V'lakach ha-kohen midam ha-chatas be'etzba'o, v'nasan al-karnas ha-mizbach ha-olah, the kohen will take some of the blood in his finger and put on the corners of the mizbeach, Vesta mo yishpoch, and the leftovers you should pour el yisod mizbach ha'ola to the foundation. It doesn't say all the blood. But lamata, but in regards to a regular carbon chatas of an individual who Omer, the verse says, v'lakach ha'koin midamo be'etzba'o, the coin will take from its blood with his finger. V'nas and al-karnos mizbach ha'ola, and put on the corners of the mizbeach. Ves kol dama yishpoch el yisod mizbeach, and all of its blood he'll pour on the base of the mizbeach. So interpret the psukim like this. How do we know that if somebody caught the blood of a chatas in four different cups? And one placement of blood was from one cup, one placement of blood was from another cup. Then all the leftovers of all four cups are poured onto the base. That's the verse says, and all of its blood should be poured. Yachol, but maybe Nasan Arba Matanos Mikos Echad. If he has two cups, or he has four cups, and he only uses one cup, and from that one cup he puts the four placements of blood on the altar. Maybe the leftover cups also, Yuyu Kula Nishbachim Yisod, all of them should be poured to the base. Tamaloma, that's what the verse said, Ve'es Damo, and his blood will be poured, but not all of the blood. HaKetzat, so what's the case? Hu Nishbach Yisod, the leftovers in the cup that you took from this cup for the altar gets poured on the base. Ve'hein, but the other cups, Nishbachim La'ama, they get poured onto the canal running through the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that when you have multiple cups, and only one cup is used, the other cups are dachli, they're pushed aside, they're no good anymore. However, Blazmer Rishimon said, how do we know that if you caught the blood in four cups, but you only used one cup for the pouring, the other cups also get poured onto you? So, Tamalomer Ves called on my Yishboch. So the Gemara now says, in the view of Blazmer Rishimon, Ivok said, what's he going to do with the other pasuk? Ves Dama Yishboch, and you pour the blood, not all the blood. That's to say that if you was a slaughtering and you caught blood in a vessel and some of the blood goes onto the altar where it should go, the leftovers get poured on the base, but the blood that's still in the neck of the animal that was never caught in a holy vessel, that does not have to be poured onto the base of the Mizbeach. That gets poured into the canal that's running through the base. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh